Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Jenna Oakley? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Jenna Oakley was born in 2001 and raised in the state of Indiana. Her father, Philip, and her mother, Christy, separated, and Philip moved to Danville, Kentucky. Jenna and her younger brother, David, would visit Philip in Kentucky every other weekend. When Jenna was 11 or 12 years old, she was targeted by a teenager named Kenneth Nye. He was looking for romance. Kenneth was about 5 years older than Jenna. For some reason, no one reported this relationship to the police, or if they did, no action was taken. The conditions in the home where Jenna lived were unpleasant, and she did not want to live there anymore. In April of 2016, she asked her father, Philip, if she could move to Kentucky and live with him. He agreed, and Jenna moved into a basement bedroom in the Oakley family house. Not long after this, her brother David made the move as well. By this point, Philip was remarried. His wife was named Rhonda Oakley. Jenna continued her relationship with Kenneth Nye. At this point, Jenna was 15 and Kenneth was 20. Philip and Rhonda were not happy about the situation and took away Jenna's electronic devices. They told her that she could not continue to see Kenneth. Jenna led her father and stepmother to believe that she would comply with their wishes. Philip spoke to Kenneth and threatened to call the police on him if he refused to end the relationship with Jenna. Kenneth said that he was sorry and promised that he would no longer communicate with her. By this point, Kenneth was in the Army and stationed in Colorado, which made it seem as though he had moved on with his life. In reality, the relationship between Kenneth and Jenna never ended. Jenna continued to communicate with Kenneth using the electronic device of a friend. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On August 31, 2016, Kenneth Nye was discharged from the Army after deliberately failing a physical test. Before this, he had filed a petition to be a conscientious objector, but he was impatient and decided to take a faster route to be kicked out of the Army. He was dropped off at an airport with a plane ticket to Indiana. He changed the destination to Lexington, Kentucky, which is about 35 miles away from Danville. Kenneth arrived in Lexington during the afternoon and took a taxi to Danville. He gave the taxi driver the address of the Oakley family house, but said that he wanted to surprise the family. Therefore, he exited the taxi at the end of the street and walked toward the house. He spent the night in the house with Jenna, but no other family member knew that he was there. On September 1, 2016, Philip and Rhonda went to work and David went to school. Jenna did not go to school. She spent the day with Kenneth in the house. At some point, she retrieved a knife and kept it in her basement bedroom. Rhonda came home from work at 3 p.m., which was earlier than usual. She walked down the basement steps as Kenneth hid in Jenna's closet. A verbal altercation started because Rhonda was upset with Jenna missing school. Jenna started choking Rhonda, but was unable to overpower her. Kenneth emerged from the closet and started choking Rhonda from behind. After Rhonda was rendered unconscious, Jenna used the knife she had retrieved earlier and stabbed Rhonda in the throat multiple times. Rhonda did not survive. Kenneth appeared to be somewhat disturbed by the homicidal behavior. He vomited in Jenna's trash can. The young lovers fled in Rhonda's white 2014 Honda Civic. At 4 p.m., 13-year-old David was dropped off by the bus and entered the Oakley family house. As he was loading the dishwasher, he heard the family dogs barking in the basement. When he investigated, he found his stepmother, Rhonda, on the floor. David went to a neighbor's residence, and emergency services were contacted. When the police arrived, they found 52-year-old Rhonda Oakley dead on the basement floor. They noticed Jenna was missing, along with Rhonda's Honda Civic. They were able to eliminate Philip as a potential suspect because he was at work all day. When the police learned about Jenna's relationship with Kenneth Nye, he became the obvious suspect. Investigators didn't know if Kenneth had kidnapped Jenna or if she had left with him on her own volition. They started tracking his phone. It appeared as though Kenneth was moving west across the country. Unfortunately, the phone was not consistently pinging towers, so initially the police could not obtain enough information to find Kenneth. At one point, the couple had been spotted at a Walmart store where they purchased a phone charger. In the store surveillance video, Jenna did not appear to be in distress. She was walking through the store with Kenneth as if nothing was out of the ordinary. On September 3, 2016, 2 days after Rhonda's murder, Kenneth's phone pinged in Tucumcari, New Mexico, which is about 1,200 miles west of Danville, Kentucky. A police officer in New Mexico spotted Rhonda's Honda Civic in the parking lot of a Motel 6. In the vehicle, he found Kenneth and Jenna. When Jenna saw the officer's flashlight, she started the engine. But then when she saw the officer's firearm, she decided to turn it off. Kenneth and Jenna were arrested without incident. The destination for Kenneth was jail, but Jenna was taken to a juvenile detention facility due to her age. On September 5, Kenneth used a blanket on a hook in his jail cell to facilitate a hanging. He was found non-responsive and placed on life support at a hospital. In his jail cell, the authorities found a note. It read, quote, "I, Kenneth Nye, admit to killing Rhonda Oakley. Jenna had nothing to do with it. She was not in the house when I killed Rhonda. I take blame for everything. I am truly sorry," unquote.
Something is creeping in. Don't follow it down.
Let me introduce you to Barry Clue, an authorized financial advisor from New Zealand and a very special kind of stain on humanity.
He was a very knowledgeable young guy.
He was a registered financial advisor.
Type of guy that was bending over backwards to help you.
Now, you could be forgiven for thinking that Barry sounds like a great guy. And you'd be right. Well, right up until the point when you're wrong.
It was all fictitious.
You stole from my son, who has a disability.
Chris never knew. He died believing that we're all taken care of.
A psychopath is somebody who lacks empathy, acts impulsively. I think there's a strong case that Barry might be all of those things, actually.
To find out how Barry Clue stole over $15 million from 81 victims, subscribe to Clueless, The Long Con. That's Clueless, spelt K-L-O-O-G-H-L-E-S-S.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Amy.
And hi, true crime fans.
We're the co-hosts of She Goes by Jane. Every week, we'll be covering the story of a missing or unidentified woman in the United States.
Stories you may have heard before.
And ones whose stories didn't make it into the news.
We've been covering these stories for a while. First in Amy's book of poetry, Doe.
And then in Vanessa's documentary, She.
But now we want to share them with you here on She Goes by Jane.
And each week we'll be joined by a special guest who will read a poem in honor of the women we talk about. Can we say who?
We can say who. We'll be joined by actresses like Coco Jones and Gabrielle Ruiz.
And musicians like Stephanie Quayle and Kelly Moneymaker, along with authors like Louise Penny.
And Catherine McKenzie.
So check out She Goes by Jane wherever you get your podcasts, or check out Evergreen Podcast and their true crime channel, Killer Podcasts.
We can't wait to bring you these stories.
On September 12, Jenna was extradited to Kentucky. The police interviewed her without telling her about how Kenneth was preparing to check out permanently. She readily confessed to her involvement in the murder. After providing the details of how she and Kenneth carried out the homicide, Jenna explained how she threw the knife away when she was traveling with Kenneth. Jenna was charged as an adult with complicity to commit murder and theft by unlawful taking over $10,000. In mid-October, Kenneth was the recipient of both good news and bad news. The good news? all the charges against him were to be dismissed. The bad news, the reason for this was his death. During a pretrial hearing, Jenna was informed about the demise of Kenneth and screamed in the courtroom. In addition to the destruction of her fantasy of a never-ending romance, she probably realized that if she had not confessed, she could have placed all the blame on Kenneth. Despite the confession and other evidence against Jenna, the state of Kentucky made a move that surprised many. They offered Jenna a plea deal. On April 1, 2019, Jenna pleaded guilty to manslaughter in the first degree and theft by unlawful taking over $10,000. On March 27, 2019, she was sentenced to 10 years for the manslaughter charge and 5 years for the theft charge. The sentences were to run consecutively, so it was a 15-year sentence. Jenna could be released as early as 2027 based on good behavior and will definitely be released no later than 2031. Now moving to my analysis. While many people are satisfied with how this case ended for Kenneth Nye, there has been a good deal of disagreement about the sentence that Jenna Oakley received. Some people, including Jenna's father Philip, believe that her sentence was too lenient. How is she able to murder someone and yet only receive 15 years in prison? Other people believe the sentence was too harsh. The age difference between the young lovers meant that Kenneth was committing a crime and in a position of power. Maybe he manipulated Jenna into killing Rhonda. Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that Jenna's sentence was too lenient, starting with the factors that support this theory. When Jenna moved to her father's house in Kentucky, she acknowledged his directive that the relationship with Kenneth needed to end. Instead of complying, she deceived him and circumvented the measures that he took to prevent her from contacting Kenneth. The police found a journal written by Jenna. She wrote about stabbing her entire family to death and even documented step-by-step instructions. She wrote, quote, "Need to kill Philip first, 4 a.m. to 5 a.m., two knives prepared, with me, kill David last, kill Rhonda second, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Kill David in his room, ask Philip to go downstairs real quick, then as we are going down, slice his neck in the front, walk into Rhonda's bedroom and stab her, stab David in his bed," unquote. At another point, Jenna expressed gratitude about the idea that her entire family would be murdered when she wrote, quote, "They'll be dead soon, thankfully," unquote. Jenna confessed to being the one who stabbed her stepmother to death. She had retrieved the knife in advance, which points to premeditation. After the murder, Jenna fled with Kenneth in Rhonda's car and disposed of the knife. She clearly knew what she did was wrong. Now moving to the factors that contradict the theory that Jenna's sentence was too lenient. Jenna did well in school and did not have a criminal record. She may have been manipulated by Kenneth. He clearly wanted to be with her desperately, which was a strong motive to commit the murder. In his final note, Kenneth exonerated Jenna and took full responsibility for the homicide. According to Jenna's defense, she had been moved back and forth between her parents. When Jenna was 3 years old, social services became involved in her life. A neighbor noticed that Jenna and her siblings were left alone for long periods of time. There was garbage scattered everywhere, and the home was full of feces, urine, vomit, rats, roaches, and fleas. Jenna was covered in flea bites and miserable. Moldy dishes were in the sink, and medications were within the reach of children. Jenna's mother worked at a jail and allegedly bailed out a criminal who came to live with the family. He ended up stealing from them. Stability was elusive to Jenna. For example, she never completed an entire school year in any one school district. When Jenna lived with her father, it appeared as though she had more stability, but her basement bedroom was referred to by her defense as moldy. When considering the evidence, do I believe that Jenna's sentence was too lenient? Yes. Jenna not only murdered her stepmother, but planned to murder her father and brother. I think a sentence of 30 years would have been reasonable under the circumstances, but the state was in a tough position as far as taking this case to a jury. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Jenna was raised in a chaotic environment and was not protected from Kenneth. They started a relationship and believed they were in love. Jenna wrote about marrying Kenneth someday and insisted the relationship was eternal. Both Jenna and Kenneth were immature, self-centered, hedonistic, impulsive, irresponsible, sadistic, and had a lack of empathy. They were focused on immediate gratification with no consideration of the future. Everything was about them. No one else mattered. The couple could have easily conducted a murder-free escape from Kentucky, but that wasn't good enough for Jenna. She wanted to kill before leaving because Rhonda had interfered with the romance. To Jenna, other human beings were simply objects. Her stepmother, Rhonda, was an obstacle, not a person with rights. Jenna murdered without remorse and without a second thought to protect a toxic relationship. She then went on her magical journey with Kenneth, believing they would have a fairy tale romance. Kenneth also had a warped view of the relationship. He believed they were destined to be together. In his final note, he lied to protect Jenna. He probably thought of this as a grand romantic gesture, a heartwarming demonstration of his love that Jenna could finally contemplate for the rest of her life. Even though Jenna's guilt was clear, the state of Kentucky was concerned about the age difference between Kenneth and Jenna. They worried that a jury might believe Jenna was manipulated into committing the homicide. They offered Jenna a plea bargain, which involved a short sentence considering the crime, but at least it guaranteed a conviction. I think that the state of Kentucky had a valid point, especially given Jenna's difficult upbringing and how she was victimized by Kenneth. It's hard to imagine her both as a victim and as a killer, but these descriptions can be true simultaneously. Now moving to my final thoughts. Jenna not only killed her stepmother, she devastated her father. He told the media, quote, "I hate what she did. I don't necessarily hate my daughter. I want to be able to forgive my daughter, but I just don't know how. I haven't figured that out yet," unquote. It would appear as though he never did figure it out. On another occasion, Philip said, quote, "I can tell you I hate my daughter," unquote. Other family members of Rhonda were also understandably displeased. Jenna wanted to live in a world where her family did not exist. She will have to settle for a world where she does not exist to her family.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Allegedly is back for season 2, a new crime every time. In each episode of Allegedly, you'll hear a crime told to you by the person who experienced it, intermingled with actor portrayals, original music, immersive soundscapes, to create a cinematic experience for your ear. Season 2's stories include a young woman finding salvation in God, only to realize the leader of her church was running a sex cult. A case of a con artist swindling a kindly older man until he couldn't do anything to stop her. A landlord exploiting a mentally disabled man and keeping him a virtual prisoner. An act of bullying spinning a promising young man's life into total chaos. And a luxury boat captain inexplicably detained in a foreign prison with seemingly no hope of ever getting out. New episodes release every other week. Look for Allegedly from Voyage Media anywhere you listen to podcasts.